A good news story from Syria that will never end is its diverse culture, its mosaic of traditions. And central to those traditions is food, cuisine. It's something Sharon Saloom has devoted her life to. She grew up in Australia of Syrian parents, and for the past 6 years she's been running a Syrian restaurant in Sydney. It's called Almond Bar, and now it comes with a cookbook of the same name. I spoke to her a little earlier about just what defines Syrian cuisine.
You'll notice in a lot of the recipes in the book, there's some spices that aren't necessarily used for certain dishes that may be in a Lebanese cookbook. You know, abundant use of seven spices, which is a traditional spice mix that most people would normally know as baharet. Using that in a lot of dishes is a really big part of Syrian cooking. And the use of chili in a few dishes as well, with the Armenian influence coming in from Aleppo in Syria.
Because Syria is such a mosaic of cultures and ethnicities and religions that would, a little bit like Australia, lead to this sort of fusion of food as well.
That's correct, yeah. Yeah, it really does make a difference. You do have a bit of a fusion in Syria.
So as a chef and the author of a recipe book and a restaurateur, how do you approach the question of touching these ancient dishes and at the same time making them new? Because people say, oh, you can't be changing this, and at the same time you want to have a fresh, even original dish.
Yeah, well, I believe that, you know, with certain traditional dishes, we just need to leave them as is. So there's the traditional dishes that we use in the restaurant or provide in the restaurant are completely based on my mother's recipes. So I've decided not to touch those. I won't really have much to do with those except to make them as she taught me to make them, even though I argue with her that mine are better.
I bet you lose that argument.
I do sometimes.
What about aunties and uncles? Is that a big influence on you?
Definitely, yeah. I have, you know, aunties that make particular desserts quite well, and so I've learnt, you know, how to make those desserts. And
how to be diplomatic as well.
That's right, exactly. And they've been beautiful about it, very gracious in letting me borrow those recipes as well.
No concern that you're revealing the family secrets in a published book?
No, if anything, I think you have a sense of pride in providing those, I guess, secrets to people and being able to say, hey, look, don't have something that's second rate. You should really have something that's quality when it comes to Middle Eastern food. And for such a long time, I've watched it kind of be a second-rate cuisine in a lot of places because it's falafel that's pre-made and been sitting there all day. Or,
you mean like a takeaway kebab?
Yeah,
shop?
Exactly. And I think to a lot of people, that's what Middle Eastern food is supposed to be like, fast and quick and easy and not necessarily fresh, but there's so much more to the cuisine. So it's actually nice to be able to say to people, hey, it's actually not that hard to make, and here you go, experiment, and here's a recipe.
And customers and the Australian palate generally is coming on to agree with you because there's a big taste now, not just for Levantine or Lebanese food, but food from all over the regions. There's an increased taste for fish when you never used to be able to get fish in a Lebanese restaurant, which is crazy in Australia.
That's right, yeah.
Are you finding that the people are willing to be more risky with both their preparation and what they choose to eat?
I think so, definitely. It's funny because it actually has changed over the last few years, given from when we first opened the restaurant, which was just over 6 years ago now, to now. People's knowledge of the cuisine is a lot more vast than what it used to be. So originally we used to struggle selling certain things like labneh, for example, which was, you know,
dried yogurt.
Yeah, I used to have to get rid of it because I...
How can you not have labneh in a Lebanese,
but now,
Syrian restaurant?
Yeah, the last couple of years it's just been flying out the door. So it's nice to see that change in people over time.
You mentioned labneh, the yogurt, and it could be said for a hummus or any number of things, is the trade-off between preparation and flavour, because you can get hummus in a can, you can
yes.
get falafel in a box.
That's correct.
Or you can make the labneh yourself
yep.
over many days. Where do you draw the line? I mean, people aren't going to spend 3 days making yogurt, especially when you can get it so fresh.
Well, look, there's a couple of options in the book. I mean, you can, in regards to labneh, yes, you don't have to make the yogurt from scratch. You can start off with, you know, your Greek style yogurt or your natural yogurt and go from there.
What do you do
point.
At the restaurant?
Oh, look, we do make the yogurt from scratch. We go all the way, and it's very big batches, so it's quite labour intensive. But to us, it's worth it. We're going to serve this to people, then we want them to have it the way that we've always had it.
Obviously, Syria is going through the most horrible time. How do you think about that in publishing a book? Does that make this like a good time to publish a Syrian cookbook to sort of get the cultural aspects of the country, which one can be so proud of, out into the open?
Well, I've had a lot of people ask me about the situation in Syria and, you know, whether or not it would have been a good time to release the book. At the end of the day, I believe that there is still life. There is still a lot of life and culture and hospitality in Syria. Not all the parts of Syria are affected by what's going on. That doesn't mean it's not a horrible situation. By no means. Everyone is affected, whether they're affected physically or not. I have relatives over there who are paying, you know, ridiculous amounts of money for living. Just the smallest things are costing them triple or up to 20 times what they were paying previous to the civil war. So it's quite bad in that sense. But, you know, for me, it's an ode to the country that my parents grew up in, you know, and I'm quite proud of the book and being able to release it and to show people that there's so much more to Syria than what we see in the media and the horrors of war.
And it's Sharon Shalhoub, the author of The Almond Bar.